Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Expert Insights Radio Show. I'm your host, Stacey Chadwell, coming to you live from Las Vegas. Joining me tonight is James Malnicek, who has delivered over 2,200 motivational presentations at conferences and meetings worldwide and was named Consummate Speaker of the Year by Sharing Ideas Professional Speakers Magazine. He has appeared in USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, and several hundred other publications. James began his sales career right out of college as a stockbroker with a major Wall Street investment firm and was awarded Most Outstanding Performance twice and number one in New Account Openings twice. While in his 20s, James became a partner in a company that handled the investments for many famous entertainers, authors, and professional athletes. Currently, James owns three businesses, has authored eight books, and has read and researched over 1,500 books on personal and professional development. He is a contributing author and serves as associate editor for the number one New York Times best-selling book series, Chicken Soup for the Soul, with his own personal stories published in Chicken Soup for the Teenager's Soul, Chicken Soup for the Kid's Soul, Chicken Soup for the Prisoner's Soul. James is also the co-author of the upcoming book, Chicken Soup for the Athlete's Soul. James mixes enthusiasm and humor with motivational stories to deliver a high-content message that empowers audiences to achieve extraordinary results. Thank you so much for joining us, James.
Hey, Stace, thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Please tell us, what inspires you?
Well, I think it goes back to when I grew up in a small steel mill town, and I always tell people, you know, I actually do these speaker trainings now where a lot of people have come to me because they said, well, man, you've done so well as a highly paid motivational speaker, and I have a story or I have a message or, you know, I have some experience and I know things that I could teach other people, but how do you do this? I mean, you weren't famous, you know, nothing ever happened like significant, like you didn't win a Super Bowl, you know, and you didn't win a TV show contest, but you created this amazing speaking career. You know, how do you do that? And give me some tips. And I always tell them, well, the first thing you got to do when you meet anyone or you're giving a presentation anywhere, and a presentation is also a phone interview like we're doing right now, Stace. And I tell them in the very beginning, you always have to tell a little bit about yourself and how you got started in anything, because here's why. A friend of mine who's one of my longtime coaching members, taught me something years ago. He said, nobody will ever hear you until they know you. Mm-hmm. So what inspires me is a little bit about telling about where I got started, because when you hear that yourself and you reflect on your own personal story of where you got started, I think that's what inspires most people. You know, sometimes you got to just kind of pinch yourself and say, wow, I'm a blessed person. Look at some of the things, whether it's you have a family or whether, you know, you've done something significant in business or whatever that is. You always kind of got to step back and remember where you started. And so kind of to answer your question is, what most inspires me is to always remember where I started. And I always say this, that, you know, I'm a very blessed person, and I'm just a steel mill town kid who happened to do some things right. And what I mean by that is I grew up in a very tiny, small steel mill town outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, population of about, I'll say, 6,000 to maybe 8,000 people. We didn't have much growing up. Mom worked as a lunch mother at the school, serving lunches to all the elementary school and then high school kids. And my dad worked in the steel mill for over 30 years. And so we didn't have much. And, you know, I never thought growing up that I would be able to do some of the things that I'm blessed to do today. Just never crossed my mind. I had some goals, but I never thought, well, you know, somebody like me living where I live, coming from my background, could ever do some things like this. And, you know, I had a mentor one time who told me a Walt Disney quote, and it always stuck with me. And the quote was, if you can dream it, you can believe it. Now go do it. And you know, it just always stuck with me, and I never forgot that. And that was an eighth grade English teacher that told me that, Mrs. Monahan. And I don't know why it stuck with me, and that sort of has served as an inspiration. You know, it doesn't matter where, and this is what I relay to people now when I speak for corporations, associations, business conventions, community groups, colleges, universities, youth organizations. Every time I speak, you know, I always say, look, it's not where you start in life, it's where you decide to finish. And one of the things that keeps your fuel tank high at a high level, I think, is you always remember where you started. And if you are someplace right now starting and you'd like to go to a higher place in your life right now, well, you've got to understand the quote from Walt Disney. If you can dream it, you could do it. You know, so you've got to intelligently think out a plan on how to lay the right steps to do it. But it doesn't matter where you are. It matters where you decide to finish. So I don't care where you are in your life right now. You know, where do you want to be? And then, you know, gosh darn, let's just figure out a way to make it happen for you. And the other thing is that you got to get rid of your excuses, because everybody has excuses. And they're pretty darn good excuses, and every excuse you give yourself will always be right. You know, oh, yeah, I'd like to have a great marriage, but, or, you know, I'd like to be the first person in my family to go to college and get a degree, but, or I'd like to start my own business. I'd like to leave the job of working for somebody else and start my own business, but, or, you know, I'd like to be a millionaire, but, you know, I'd like to achieve this goal, but I'd like to achieve that dream, but. So the only thing that stops you from going from where you are to where you want to be is a big but. So you got to get your butt out of the way. And, you know, I'll just kind of wrap this up with this. I'm very blessed to be on an ABC reality, brand new reality TV show called Secret Millionaire. And it's prime time on ABC. And had you said this to me 5 years ago, that, man, now because of what you've done as a speaker and then what you've done is from teaching others how to monetize their mission, their story, their message, and to become highly paid speakers telling their stories, you'd have told me that because of all that, I would end up on ABC primetime television. I'd say, Stacy, man, what are you smoking? You know, because back 5 years ago, I had that butt still in my head. You know, even though I was blessed to achieve certain things, I still had that butt when it came to something big like primetime television. And it was like, yeah, but why would they choose me? You know, I'm just little James, and I'm just a steel mill town kid. You know, and you got to get your butt out of the way, because if you can dream it, you could do it. Now go do it.
I like that. Well, how do you inspire others? I mean, I'm hearing it already, but how do you inspire others?
You know, me personally, or someone listening? So me, yeah, I think whether it's me or anyone listening, I think you inspire other people. I think I inspire other people by your story. A couple things. Number one, your story. Your story of there's something you've overcome in your life. See, if you study, I'm sort of a highly paid, not sort of, I am a highly paid marketing consultant. Some of it is $100,000 a year to coach with me. And one of the things I've studied for years is Hollywood movies. And if you watch the psychology behind Hollywood movies, what movies are the ones that we always like and we always appeal to and attract to? They're the movies where there is somebody who overcomes something. Okay? If you just think of some of the most inspirational movies of all time, Rocky. Rocky was the underdog. We rooted for the underdog. Why? Because we wanted to see Rocky prevail. Okay, Rocky was the underdog. We wanted to see Rocky win, come through the struggle. You look at a football movie like Rudy, about the guy going to Notre Dame to play football. Rudy's a good friend of mine. He lives out here in Las Vegas by me, the real Rudy, not the actor. You know, why did we like Rudy? Because he was the underdog. He was going through the struggle, the pain. And I'll get to the reason why this inspires us in a second. You look at a movie like a hockey movie like Miracle, about the United States hockey team defeating the Russian hockey team in the Olympics, and they were never supposed to win. Why did we appeal to that? Because they weren't supposed to win. They're beaten up. There's no way they could beat, you know, the big Russian hockey team. You look at a horse movie like Seabiscuit. You look at another boxing movie like Cinderella Man or The Fighter. Okay, and what you quickly learn is the reason those movies inspire us is because we are those movies. We have a story like that within us, no matter what it is, a story of struggle, a story of pain, a story of triumph, a story of, you know, finding the love of our lives, you know, after so much struggling to find the love of our lives. We have stories of in our lives of families coming back together, you know, after not talking to each other for years, overcoming that adversity. So what inspires me and what inspires, I think, everybody is the story of the struggle, the triumph, the overcoming adversity, the not quitting, the not giving up, Rocky getting knocked down, standing up again and again and again when he shouldn't stand up. Because here's why: we are those people. We all have that story. So what inspires me, and I think what inspires everyone, is the story that you have. And I'm not saying your story has to be something like, you know, you won the heavyweight boxing championship of the world like Rocky. But your story is like that, hey, you know what? I worked 3 jobs as a single parent, you know what? And I busted my butt, and because of that, I have great kids. And that is an amazing, inspirational story, and that is what inspires other people, because here's why. Someone looks at you, and they say to you, man, if you did it and you didn't quit, maybe I can do it, and you give them hope. And so that's what inspires me, is stories of people who just won't quit no matter how tough it seems, no matter what the circumstances are.
You know, I completely agree with you, because if you watch our TV, our current TV, the reality shows like The Biggest Loser, where they're trying to overcome, I mean, that's a story who most of us have struggled with weight at some point or some pounds.
Sure.
So you see these people overcoming these huge, you know, challenges and how they're doing it, and you're like, yes, you're rooting for them, and you really want them to get there and make it. So, I mean, it is permeating our culture in a lot of different ways. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be that someone struggles with a weight problem. It's that whole process, if you're watching that show, it's the process of somebody who was, here's where they were, and look at the transformation and the beautiful change they made in their lives. And it was so tough and hard, but you know what? Gosh darn it, they didn't quit. You know, and that's what I think, if you look at the underlying message, that's what it is. It's just somebody went from a mess to a success. You know, and that's what Secret Millionaire is all about. It's why it's going to change the lives of millions of people all over the world, is because basically I lived in a ghetto on about $44.62 for a whole week. That was all the money I had to live on. So basically the whole premise of the show, very inspirational. It's a very good, touchy-feely, like Extreme Home Makeover type inspirational show. Basically the whole premise is they take millionaires out of their current lifestyle and put them into situations where they're not used to being in. Okay? And can they survive? Will they survive? And then, but the real story is that, so here I am, I'm taken out of my lifestyle in Las Vegas, and I'm thrust into a tough economic area where I was basically at one point living in a ghetto. I was living in about a very small apartment on $44.62 for an entire week, not for a day. That's all I had to live on for a week. And I was volunteering in the community looking for amazing, beautiful, spirited people who are volunteering, who are helping, who are serving other people, serving their community. And nobody knew who I was. The camera crew that was with me from ABC, it was just pretty much staged as they're shooting a documentary on groups who are volunteering. Nobody knew it was a reality TV show, and because they didn't want anybody to act differently. They just wanted them to be themselves. So basically, I was out, you know, I was sweeping streets with people. I was cleaning up trash lots. I was helping young kids with their homework and after-school programs. You know, things that they did to get kids off the streets, and I was just volunteering and helping and watching these amazing spirits who were doing this for no other reason than to give and to support and to help lift a fellow person up. And at the end of the week, I reveal my identity, and I share with them that, you know, I'm actually not a struggling poor person. I'm actually a millionaire. And then I open up my checkbook, and I tell them, I say, I've been so inspired by what you're doing and the amazing spirit you are that I'd like to give you this check for. And then I start writing them checks, $50,000, $20,000, $10,000, whatever it was. And I give them some money, some financial resources, so they can carry out their mission of serving and loving.
That's
a great inspirational story. See, and let me tell you this, Dave, because this is really important. It wasn't about the money. Yeah, sure, I gave away over $100,000. It wasn't about the money they were receiving. I mean, the money certainly helped them. I mean, look, if you've got a $37 electric bill coming due and you don't have the money in your bank account, you can try and deposit, you know, with the credit collecting company, all the hope and all the inspiration and all the, you know, intention and law of attraction stuff you want. But if you don't have the money in your bank account, you can't pay it. So the money definitely helped those folks, no doubt about it, because it saved some folks from losing their homes. It, you know, got some of the folks out of the process of having to close their business. So the money definitely helped. But here's what I quickly noticed. It was much more than the money that they got. It was a deeper spiritual thing they got, which was they got hope. The money, the awarding them of the thing, the check, the money, symbolized that, you know what, somebody recognizes you and you're doing great stuff and you can't quit doing what you're doing. And sure, the money helps to pay their bills, but what I really did, I believe, was gave them some hope. And that's priceless, you know, because when someone's at the end of their rope, they need hope.
Yes, they do. That's absolutely right. Well, that's fabulous. I love that you're doing that. So what made you choose this arena for your life's great work?
You know, I didn't. It actually chose me. You know, I was a stockbroker. I was a financial consultant and managing people's money. I was in Southern California at one point, managing. I had clients that were entertainers and pro athletes and celebrities, and watching the stock market and managing their investments, that sort of thing. And one day I got asked, because I had won some awards at a young age, and I had within my company, and I had gotten asked to start speaking and training others within the company on how I did it, because I did it at a young age and I did it so fast, and it was rather unusual because of how fast I did it. First year I'd won most outstanding performance twice and number one in new account openings twice, and it was my first year. And there are people who are 15, 20 years into the business not doing that. So I started getting asked to speak and train, and I did a presentation in New York City. Training actually was, I think it was in the World Trade Centers, actually. And someone there saw me speak, called his father back in Southern California, said, hey, we just had this guy speak, and man, he was very uplifting and motivational, but yet he gave really good content also. Of stuff that we could use. You might want to consider having him come and speak to your employees. So I get this call, and a guy says, hey, my son heard you speak and want to see about having you come and speak for our employees. I'm like, well, what do you want me to speak about? I mean, I'm not like a speaker or anything. You know, I just happen to do this training thing because they asked me to do it. And he said, well, I just want you to talk about, like, you know, your story and how you stay motivated and inspired to keep doing great work and doing great things. And I'm like, well, how long do you want me to speak for? And he said, I need you to speak for about an hour. I'm thinking, okay, well, that would be pretty simple. I just did a training for about 3 hours, just teaching what I knew. You know, I wasn't like a speaker. I was just teaching what I knew. So if I did 3 hours, I can fill 1 hour. And then he asked me a question. He said, well, how much do you charge? And I had no clue, Stacy. I mean, I'm like, I don't know. That was so foreign to me. I mean, what they're going to pay me to do this thing? So I learned one thing in business. When someone asks you a question and you are dumbfounded and baffled and you don't know the answer, you say, there are a couple lines you say that you could throw back to them so they answer. So he said, so how much you charge? And I was like, well, how much you got? And he says, well, you know, last guy we had, we paid about $5,000. And Stacy almost fell off my chair. I was like, now how long do you want me to talk again for? And he said, oh, could you do it for about an hour? Would you do that for us? I'm thinking, for $5,000, I'll not only speak for the hour, I'll wash your car, you know, I'll go get your dry cleaning. You know? And so it sort of picked me, because I never knew about speaking and getting started in it. I had no clue whatsoever. And here's this man talking about hiring me for 1 hour of a talk, paying me $5,000, and talking like it was nothing but a thing, and that he does it all the time for people. And
I hope you accepted.
Oh, my. Well, I had to get my tongue out of my throat. I was, like, swollen, and I couldn't believe, like, are you kidding me? For an hour? I mean, after I got off the ground and, you know, from where I fell off my chair, I said, you know, I just took a gulp, and I said, I think that'll work. And so I went and did that, and I did, you know, motivational talk. They loved it. And I'm like, and they gave me a check for $5,000 for an hour? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, and then they said, hey, would you be willing to go and speak for two more of our offices? And would you be willing to accept the same fee? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I did three talks, Stacy, made $15,000 for 3 hours of work. And I said, wait a minute, I'm on to something here. And that's when I realized that speaking, there's two sides of speaking. There's your message and what you deliver, and then there is the business side. And it is a huge business. It's like a billion-dollar industry with conventions and colleges and corporations. And so I said, wait a minute. If they're going to pay me to help people and inspire people and do something I love to do, I'm going to figure out how to make this work. And I did. And I've done so many presentations, helped so many people, but got compensated for it too, because I could have been doing it for free. And I realized it was a business. So it kind of, to answer your question, it picked me. I didn't pick it. I didn't even know that it existed. But once I realized that I could actually, you know, it's like an entertainer, somebody who loves to sing, and then all of a sudden they're getting paid to sing, they're getting paid to record an album, they're getting paid to put on a concert, and it's like, man, I've never worked a day in my life because I'm getting paid to do something I love to do, which is speak and help people.
Yeah, you know, when somebody says, so, you know, to other, you know, successful people say, when are you going to retire? Like, retire from what? I'm enjoying my life. I'm never going to retire. This is great. So how do you define success?
Real simple, happiness. I defined this years ago, happiness. It's happiness with myself. It's happiness with my life. It's happiness doing what I want to do, when I want to do it, however I want to do it. And that's, I just think that's what success is for people. You know, Mother Teresa, I read this article years ago, Mother Teresa said that one of her great pleasures in life was holding the hands of people as they were transitioning and as they were dying.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at it in society, society would tell us that success equals money. And that's true. That could be true for a certain extent. But Mother Teresa held people's hands when they were dying and got great joy. Does that mean she's not successful? Because maybe she wasn't wealthy. I think she's super successful. You know, if you are a parent and you have the great pleasure that you're raising amazing kids, and your kids, you're getting to spend time with your husband, your wife, your children, you know, whatever that looks like for you, and you're happy, well, isn't that successful? So I think society equates success and programs us that success is all about money and materialistic things. And I'm not saying that that can't be a part of success. You know, so definitely in business, that's a part of success because, you know, if a business is not making money and profiting, then they're not really successful. So, but to me, success is all about happiness. It's doing what I want, when I want, wherever I want, with whomever I want, however much I want. And so, that's why I've always defined success. If the minute I'm not happy doing something in my life, I don't feel like I'm successful, and I change it. So So I tell business people this all the time. When I do a lot of teaching on how to actually run a business the right way and profit highly fast from running a business. And one of the things I tell them is, look, I have a rule for my business. And my rule is this. I absolutely will not work with anybody who irritates me.
That's a good rule. That's a very good rule.
Well, and the reason is because, look, I lost my sister Vicky years ago to a brain tumor. She died of a brain tumor unexpectedly. She was okay, and then 3 months later, she collapsed and died. And it just taught me life is just too darn short to be around people who irritate you and people who bring you down and people that you don't want to be around and you don't like being around. You know, so why would you want to be around them? Yesterday, I have 160 coaching members who I consult and coach for. The fees to coach with me are $20,000 a year, $60,000 a year, and $100,000 a year. I have 160 members in my coaching consulting group. I got a text message yesterday that one of my dear, dear, dear clients, love them to death, unexpectedly had a massive heart attack and died. And it just reminded me that, man, life is just too darn short. It's too darn short to not do what you like to do and to be around the people you like to be and not be around the people you don't like to be. Because, I mean, had no idea about my client. Nobody, I mean, he was fine. He was healthy and all, just a bam, massive heart attack and died. And it's just, you know, every now and then life keeps reminding you that you got to do that happiness check and make sure you're only around people you like to be around, you're happy, and you're only doing things you like to do.
I think that's true. And who you surround yourself can, you know, does determine your attitude. And I agree with you about success. I think what I say is success is user defined.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
because
you know,
they're the only they can determine their own success. They can only they're the only ones that can say what is successful for them. And a lot of people, like you said, society says it's money or you know, raising through the ranks in business. It's not necessarily so. You may raise through the ranks of business, but your real love and passion is something totally different.
Well, you know, if all you pursue is wealth and you lose your health, are you really successful? Think about that.
Probably.
You know, because there are people, and I'm not saying money is not important. You know, if you don't have money, you can't eat. It's real simple. If you have a church that needs a roof put on, you know, because the roof's messed up, or if you have sick, hungry kids in a city and they have no food, you can have all the wishing and hoping in the world and all the smiles, but bottom line, you need money to buy food to put in people's bellies. You know, so I'm not saying money in any way is not important. But to a lot of people I see in business, they only pursue money, and they forget about everything else. They forget about their family. They're not balanced. They forget about, you know, their lifestyle, the enjoying doing what they love to do. You know, so they forget about their health, and then their health declines. So, you know, you got to have the balance of all mechanisms. You know, because bottom line, look, whenever we die, we are not taking anything we have with us.
That's the truth.
We're all going out the same way we came in, and that's with nothing.
So what is the most powerful moment of success or life change in yours, for you?
Without a doubt, I got a telephone call one day. This was several years ago. It was from my dad. And my dad said my sister Vicky had collapsed and was in the hospital with the right side of her body paralyzed. Now, this was shocking for me because I was with Vicky 2 weeks before this happened, and she was perfectly fine. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what we did. We went to the movies. We went to the mall. We ate some pizza. And then we were just, you know, hanging out as brother and sister. So initially we thought, well, it's got to be a pinched nerve in Vicky's back because Vicky is a young person at the time, 38 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first set of test results came back. It wasn't a pinched nerve. And then we thought, well, maybe Vicky had a stroke, because medical research is telling us that people of young ages can get strokes. And second set of results came back, wasn't a stroke. And then a few days went by, and I could not get Vicky on the phone. And finally, I was connected to this new room she was in. Vicky answered the phone, and I got all excited, and I said, "Hey, Vicky, how are you?" And she asked, "Did you hear?" And I got even more excited. I said, what? You know, they figured it out. Everything's okay. You're coming home. I mean, that's why you're in a new room, because they upgraded you and everything's fine. You're coming home. And she said, no, I have a brain tumor, and the doctors say I'm going to die in 3 months. I didn't know what to say. I just remember thinking, man, this doesn't happen to my sister, because, you know, we never think it happens to people we love and care about. It happens to other people's brothers, sisters, grandmas, grandpas, mom and dad, friends. And she said that to me, and I mean, I hope nobody ever experiences what I'm about to say I experience next. I hope nobody listening ever has. I hope nobody ever does. And I certainly hope I don't ever experience it again, because it was the scariest thing I have ever experienced in my entire life. When she said that to me, I tried to speak back to Vicky, but nothing came out of my mouth. You know, you hear people say they tried talking and nothing came out, and you figure they just decided not to talk. No, I am telling you, as sure as I am speaking right now to you, I was talking to Vicky the exact same way, but not a single sound was coming out of my mouth. And I don't know to this day how that happened, because I know I was talking. I don't know if my body was in shock or what, but I was talking, but there was nothing coming out of my mouth. And then, unfortunately, 3.5 months later, Vicky went on and passed away. And it taught me a very valuable lesson about life, and that is that life is short. Life is too darn short to not do what you want, when you want, where you want, with whomever you want. And that was the life-changing moment for me. You know, you only get one go around at this life. You might as well enjoy it and make live it to the fullest. Live it, and when I say live it to the fullest, I mean live it the way you want to live it. If you're not happy in a relationship with someone, golly gee, get out of it. I mean, why would you want to go through agony? You know, because I don't make many guarantees, especially when I speak for groups. I tell the groups, I say, look, I don't make many guarantees, but I'm going to guarantee you all one thing for sure that I know as sure as I'm breathing, and that is this, is not one of you here, not nor me, is guaranteed tomorrow morning. Not one of us. So why would you want to, you know, live your life being unhappy? I just don't get it. You know, so that to me was the inspirational turning point for me. And I have to tell you this, that I never thought in my entire life anything in my lifetime would come close to the experience that I had with Vicky. You know, that brother-sister time together before she passed away, and what I learned from that experience. Never thought anything in my life would ever come as close. Well, being on the TV show The Secret Millionaire and going through the journey and seeing the amazing people and how it changed my life more than the money changed their life is second. It's not, in my heart, it's not as life-changing as being with my sister, because that's always going to be special because it's my sister. But Secret Millionaire and the people I met and what the producers and the folks on the show allowed me to experience is one of the greatest things I've ever done.
I can believe that. Really changing that many lives. Definitely.
Well, here's important, though. They changed mine more than my money changed theirs.
Well, what are the three most important personal tips that you could share for achievement and fulfillment?
Oh, that's a good question. Number one, you can be, do, and have anything you desire in life. It may be difficult. It may seem unfathomable, but somebody somewhere has already blazed the trail. So figure out who that person is. Learn from them. I don't care what you have to invest to learn from them. Now, notice I didn't say spend money. I don't care if you – see, all the information you want for anything you want to do in life is already out there. There are books. There are CDs. There are seminars. There are consulting programs. There are coaching programs. If you want to learn how to make money in real estate, there are people who've already done it and can teach you like in split seconds how to do it. If you want to learn how to get in shape, there are trainers. There are books. There are more books than you can imagine. So the only thing that's – if you want to have a great marriage, there are people out there who have great marriages. If you want to be a great parent, there are people who have great parenting skills, whether they put them in a book or you know somebody who's been a great parent because you see how they interact. Go talk with them. Go learn from them. All the information for anything you want to do in any area of your life is out there, but you have got to get off your assets and go get it. Okay? You have to do something about it. Okay? So here's what I always teach for three secrets to success. Number one, it's mindset. It's how you think. Rich people think differently than poor people. It's a proven fact. Healthy people think differently than unhealthy people. Those in shape think differently than those out of shape. Those who succeed in business think differently than those who don't succeed in business. So it comes down to your mindset. Then it's your skill set, meaning you can't just think about it and hope about it. You've got to actually learn some certain skills that will help you to achieve what it is you want to do. So if you want to work out, here, let's take speaking, for example. A lot of people say, oh, I want to be a speaker. I have a message, and I want to empower people and inspire people. And, yes, I'm a positive person. Well, that's great. That's your mindset. But it takes a heck of a lot more than that. You then have to mix it with skill set. You got to know what I call the five P's. What's the right positioning for you and who you are and your message? What's the right packaging? What's the right presentation, and how does it structure in the right way to get impact from the audience so they love you and want to bring you back again and again? What's the right promotion to get yourself out and get your story out? Because if nobody knows about you, then you're not going to make any money. You're going to sit at home and you're not going to be speaking. And number five, how do you get paid? What are the 7, 8, 9 different ways you get paid as a speaker? See, that's not just mindset and positive thinking. That's part two of the equation, which is you've got to learn certain skill sets. You've got to learn how to tell stories from the stage. You've got to learn how to know who the people are who control the budgets and how to get them to choose you. So that's a skill set. And then the third part is you got to get off your assets. You got to take action and you got to do something. You know, Tony Robbins, who's a great positive influence for many folks, he has a line. He says, you have to take massive action. James Malinchek says, you got to get off your assets and do something.
Okay. I like that.
So there's your three: mindset, skill set, get off your assets.
Well, James, I really appreciate you taking all this time and sharing not only, you know, your professional advice, but your personal life with us today. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, I appreciate it. If anybody wants to find out more, they can go to www.malinchak.com. That's M-A-L-I-N-C-H-A-K, malinchak.com, or www.bigmoneyspeaker.com.
Thank you. If you'd like more information about James Malinchak, please go to the GetEI.com website. That's GETEI.com, where you can find out more information about him, his website, and BigMoney.com that he was just talking about. Thank you. And thank you for joining us on Expert Insights today. I'm Stacey Chavel. Have a fabulous week.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.